praise you. We thank you for this day. We open up our hearts, O Lord, and we lay aside the busyness of the season because, Jesus, you're the only reason. You're the only reason that we celebrate Christmas. Father, and I pray this morning, those that are listening live to us, those that are here in this service that may not know you, they know about you, but they don't know you. I pray from the children's church all the way to the chapel that I'm looking at this morning, that, Lord, we claim for your glory and for your kingdom, anyone who doesn't know you, that they would come into your kingdom and be saved today. Lord, for those that we're praying for, that we're lifting up, that their illness in their body, oh, Lord, please touch them, bring healing and comfort. And, Lord, for the parents and grandparents and sisters and brothers and friends there in Connecticut, the loss this week, last week, Lord, all that has occurred, we pray for those families. We pray, O God, the God of all comfort, the God of all hope, would be there with them in such a mighty way, comforting them. We pray over our nation this morning, and we pray over this chapel. Lord, visit us. Visit us, and may we literally hear the angels of heaven singing this morning. In Jesus' name, and the church says,
amen.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. Believe it or not, there's a Christmas story right there. 1 John chapter 4 in your Bibles, there toward the end of the Bible. And let me read just a few of the verses that I'm going to cover this morning to you. You know, I want to talk to you about because of Christmas. You know, the joy that we can have because of Christmas this morning. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 7 with me. Just let me read a few verses. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Now, in this the love of God was manifested or appeared. The babe in the manger appeared toward us, that God did something. He sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What a wonderful message we have this morning about God's love, about Jesus, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, born in a manger, who died, who came and died for our sins. You know, I didn't put up the Christmas tree this year, and I didn't buy any Christmas presents because I thought the world was going to come to an end on Friday. So as any good pastor would do it, you know, when you're in middle age like myself, you know, and you're having flashbacks, I don't know what compelled me, but I went out and bought a 1967 Corvette Stingray 427, red in color convertible. And then the world didn't come to an end. I was going to, you know, now I've got to make the payments, you know, but no, you know that I'm teasing you. But let me say something to you. Here's the good news. You know, don't be depressed and don't worry. The world is still passing away, but we have the truth about it. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:17 and verse 18, it says the world, this world that we live in. Now that may not sound like a Christmas message, but it is. The world that we live on, this planet, it says is passing away, comma, but he who doeth the will of God abides forever. That's us. That's the church. You know what? You don't know that tonight, today, tomorrow, you don't know that in the middle of your Christmas, when you open that present or get the key, you'll see the key to the brand new Lexus, and all of a sudden, we're gone. And God just takes us out, and you know, you're just looking at that Lexus as you're going away. The Lord is so good. I hope that you haven't worked so hard at preparing Christmas, the world's Christmas, that you've forgotten about what the real Christmas really means. Amen? Listen, I'll tell you, I had a terrifying experience yesterday, actually. It was probably the worst experience I've had this year. I visited and I went to a mall, and I'll probably be in counseling in 2013 over that, you know. But listen, today we're here because it says a child is born. A son is given. A baby was born in a manger. A son was given, and given for what purpose? He was born to die. We're born to live. Jesus was born to die for our sins. It's my heart felt this morning is this, is that I pray that what I say this morning about Christmas and about our text, I pray that you embrace these great truths because they belong to you, the believer. They belong to those who celebrate the birth of Christ. They belong to those that have asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart. I pray that you embrace the things that I'm telling you this morning because you know what? The reason for Christmas is because what Christmas has done for us. Amen? See, Christmas is not about, there's nothing wrong with getting presents and all that, but that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is not about you. Christmas is about God sending His Son. A Savior to save you, to save me. And that's why we celebrate His birth. So let's begin this morning and let's look what Christmas has done for us, beginning in verse 7. John starts out so tenderly. He says, beloved, he said, let us do something. He said, let us love. And then he tells us the object of that love. He says, let us love one another. For love is of God. In other words, the source of all love, the origin of all true love, comes from God our Father. And watch this now. And everyone who loves is born of God. In other words, that's the evidence that a person is really a believer and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Because of Christmas, because of the birth of Christ, did you know that we can do something that the world cannot do? The world, meaning those that don't know Jesus? We can love. Now, you say, well, Bill, there's plenty of people that love one another. Yes, but they can't love the right way. And I don't mean that in a critical manner. Because you see, before I came to Christ, I didn't love people in the right way. I could love people with eros, that sensual love, if you will. Or I could love people with the phileo love, the Greek word phileo, meaning brotherly love, or a love that, a family love. In other words, give and take love. You know, if you do right, I'll always love you and so forth. You know what I mean? Conditional love. But now, when you're born again, you can love with a love that the world doesn't know anything about. They've never experienced it. Because the only way to have this kind of love is to be born from above. When Jesus comes to live in your heart. And that is a supernatural love. We call it agape. It's an unconditional love. In other words, it loves a person regardless of what they do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Only a Christian can do that. And you know what? Thank God that because of that kind of love, you know, now we know how to love one another. Now we know how to love our children, and our children are growing and knowing how to love us. We know how to love our spouses. There's no greater thing than for a believer who confesses Christ to walk in love. And all because of Christmas, all because of Jesus coming into this world, we can do those things. But there's another thing here. Because of Christmas, we know what God is. A lot of people don't know. I hear all the time people blaming God for things. You know, we know that God is spirit. We know that God is life, of course, and light and so forth. But here it says, God is love. I heard someone last week say, well, you know, if God loved the children there at that elementary school, why did He let them die? God wasn't involved in that. Do you understand? God doesn't kill children. No, God loves everybody. Listen, when you start thinking about the love of God, you know, what does that really mean? And let me say this, much of what we see in the world today, in the world, or even sometimes, unfortunately, in the church, bears no resemblance to the love of God. You know what God, it says God is love. You know what that means? Here it is. You ready? It means this, that God's love for you, for the world, for every person that has ever lived and will ever live. God is love, meaning His love is completely unconditional. It's unchanging. It never goes up and down. And a word that you hear me use here often, God's love is uncaused. Meaning if you don't know the Lord this morning, you may think, oh, you know what? I've had a horrible life. And the reason I have a horrible life is because God doesn't love me. He doesn't care. No, God loves you. And let me tell you something about life. Life is unfair. The sooner we get over that, the better we're going to be. But God is never unfair. See, God, when it says God is love, It means this. It means nothing that you can do, nothing, I mean absolutely nothing you can do can make God love you any more or any less than he already does, because God is love. That's who he is. See, God loves you. He hates sin, but God loves you. Someone said this. He said, love does not define God, but God defines love. How does God define love? Well, because of Christmas, we know. Look at verse 9. It says, in this, or literally it could read, now this is how the love of God was made public, or made visible. In other words, a babe in a manger, Jesus born in Bethlehem. That's what this is referring to. The love of God was manifested, and look, toward whom? Toward us. Why? That God has sent his only begotten Son. That means unique Son. There's no one like Jesus. And where did he send him? Into the world. And why? That we might live through him. So what is God's definition of love? It's a babe in a manger. It's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God made his love visible on that dark night in Bethlehem, right there before the world. He sent his only begotten Son. Now listen, the word sent is a wonderful word, because what that means is that Jesus has always been. Do you understand? Jesus has always existed. He's the God the Son. You know, babies are not sent in the world. Did y'all know that? In other words, you didn't see a stork flying in or anything. So, whoa, where'd you come from? Mars, you know, brought your little one. No, babies aren't sent into the world. Babies are born into the world. But Jesus was sent, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she conceived and brought forth a child and named him Jesus. That's our Lord. And I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that you stepped out of eternity into what we call time, and you became a gift. That's what Christmas is all about, the true gift of God, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it says there in verse 9, watch that, it says he came, sent him into the world. Would you send your child from heaven into this dark, lonely, depressed planet? Oh, God, I look at that, and his love appeared, and I think, oh, God, he came to a world that was going to hate him, despise him, betray him, have nothing to do with him. And as he grew up, even his own brothers and sisters would think that he was mad. Think about that for a minute. At the end of his life, those that he loved, those that he kept, would actually betray him. I'm sorry, not betray him, but run, flee from him and hide, go into hiding. And there he was alone, and they arrested him and beat him and took him to a cross, and they murdered him upon a tree. That's what Christmas is really all about, is about a baby being born to come into this world to save us. You know what it says in Luke 1:7-8? Let me read, talking about Jesus. It says, though through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring, that's our Lord now, day spring's another name for Jesus, the day spring from on high, it says, has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness, those who are full of fear. Are you full of fear this morning? You think we're going to fall off a fiscal cliff in January? Listen, God, I'm in on God's economy, aren't you? It says to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let me ask you a question. What would you do if you knew that there was someone right now in our building, in this chapel, that would say, you know what, I want to take you out of the darkness that you're in. You know, we live in a dark world. Would you agree with that? We live in a world that's struggling to find any kind of light, and it gets darker and darker all the time. But for the Christian, that shouldn't trouble us. Wars or rumors of war should never trouble us. Jesus said those things are going to be happening. Oh, and I listen and I say, Lord, oh, what kind of reception would we give to someone who said, I'm here to take you out of darkness. I'm here to give you light. I'm here to guide your feet into the way of peace. You know, what would you do to that for a person like that? Well, you know what kind of reception our Lord got when he was born here on this planet? Let me read it to you. It says in Luke 2:6, it says, and so it was that while Mary and Joseph were there in Bethlehem and the days were completed for her to be delivered, that she brought forth her firstborn son, that's Jesus, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger. And the reason? Because there was no room for them in the end. Jesus came into the world that he created. But the world that he created had no room for his little teenage mother, no room for God's love, no room for Jesus at all. Imagine leaving the throne room of heaven and born in a manger. We know what a manger is, remember? A manger is a feed trough, a place where animals eat. There was no room for him in the inn. Imagine the people there in the inn not knowing that Emmanuel was outside in a feed trough, God with us. They missed it. It was a dark night. And you know what? Just a little while later, after the birth of Jesus, Herod wanted to kill him. Remember how he went into the sent soldiers and killed all the little children from 2 years, all the male children, 2 years and under. That was a world that Jesus was born in. You know, I don't want to sound critical, but sometimes, you know, like we're singing that song we were singing, Away in a Manger. You know, and the cattle, you know, is lowing and Jesus didn't start crying or, you know what I mean, all that. Listen, let's get over this. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. Now listen, he's the God-man. God came down and came into flesh, if you will. You understand? In other words, Jesus is 100% human, 100% human, 100% God. God and humanity. I mean, God and deity, deity and humanity, totally, completely united in union. Now listen, Jesus cried. Do you understand? I mean, listen, he came out of this world, and the moment that he came out of this world, I'm going to ask you a question. There he is from heaven, and he's in a feed trough, and when you're born, is there painful, ladies, when you give birth? Do you think Mary was going, no, I have the Son of God in me? No, it was Joseph was probably going, God, help me, help me. What's good? You know what I'm saying? No, and Jesus came out, listen, and you know what he did? For the first time as a human and God, union. You know what he did? His lungs were filled with the air that he created. Took in and he breathed. He walked. He cried. Tears came out of his eyes. Are you listening to me? See, we don't understand. You know, when Jesus, let me ask you, when he grew up, do you think that he, you know, like for example, that he never fell and bruised his knee or? No, he did. He was a little boy. He ran and played. Do you think, well, he used his supernatural powers to outrun people and all, you know, hey, I'm over here. Boom. Oh, no, I'm over here. Boom. No, he didn't do that. He didn't use his powers. He came as man to live as man and to die for us on the cross. Amen. So when you start thinking about him, you have to look at it and say, oh, no, listen, the one who God is, the Bible says, God who never slumbers or sleeps, never. But when Jesus came, born of a virgin, he slept. Are you listening to me? God slept for the first time. Oh, church, you got to listen. Jesus, he grew hunger. He thirsted. Jesus wept. It's so important that we see that he was the God-man, that he came into a world. And I look at that and I say, oh, God, you're so awesome. You're so wonderful. And you know, because of Christmas, I think, oh, I know those things. I'm not alone. God is with me. God is with us this morning, no matter what we face. You know, listen, Jesus came in the world that we might live through him. Isn't that what you really want? You know what? If you don't know the Lord this morning, those that are listening live or you that are here, maybe, or in the overflow, or wherever you might be, listen to me. Isn't that what you really want, is to live? That's what I want, to live. I want to live life to the fullest. Well, the Bible says in John 10:10 that Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's just not everlasting life. That's life now. And he wants us then to, when we die, we go home to be with him. We're going to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, so many people are out trying to find something to live for or live through or to give them life. You know, yesterday when I went to the mall, it really was a shocking experience because that's the first time I've been to the mall the whole year. That's really the truth. And I started looking at so many lonely people, broken people, hurting people. Everywhere I look, people that are just, they're going through, we've got to hurry, we've got to buy this gift. And husbands walking through asking these questions, oh, I don't know what she really wants. And I'm going, oh gosh, this is horrible. That's not Christmas. Christmas is about Jesus. It's about the birth of our Lord. You know, listen, and I started thinking about all of this, and I say, oh, Lord, let me ask you a question. What did Jesus have to gain by leaving heaven and coming to this earth? Nothing. He's God. He had nothing to gain, but we had everything to gain.
Amen.
Had he not come, can you imagine a world? Listen, we didn't live 2,000 years ago. It was bad 2,000 years ago, and we think it's great right now. We've really improved. Hello? We haven't improved. Man is still man. Hearts are still wicked. Do you understand? Jesus came. He was born of a virgin, born in a manger, born in Bethlehem, grew up to do something. He walked this planet for 33 years, and then they took him and put him on a cross and murdered him, slaughtered him, if you will. And he died for you. He died for me. See, Jesus died that we might have life. Amen? And have it more abundantly. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that it says, for he died for all, not just me, but for everyone, that we may no longer live for ourselves, but to live for him, to live for Jesus. That's what it's all about. May I say something this morning? If you don't have life, and I say this, I love you, listen. If you don't have his life, you're not living. I know what it's like not to have the life of Jesus. I know what it's like to search, go through everything, trying to find life, trying to find meaning. You know, we make all the money you want, and you know what? Money quickly fades away. Money is never going to make you happy. You just need more. No matter if you have a million, I need 2 million. Are you understanding? Money can't make you happy. You know, what we need is someone to fill our heart. And the things of the world can't fill your heart because they always say, now you need this, now you need this. But once Jesus fills your heart, you don't need anything else. See, your heart will be content because you know the truth and the truth will set you free. I hate to be in bondage. I want to be the freest person in the world. Christmas is a happy time for me, not because of presents. You know what? Listen, let me tell you why Christmas is a happy time. Because I sit down with my family and I have a nice meal and I sit there and I can love them and there's peace in my home and we know why when we bow our heads, why we're giving thanks that day. We're giving thanks because we know that we're saved. We know that God has saved us. And we know that he's coming again one day for us. I look at this and I say, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. Your love is so awesome. And look what it says in verse 10. It says, and this is love. Okay, what is love? Well, not that we loved God. Did you catch that? Not that we loved God, but God loved us, and here it is again, and God sent his son, sent it from heaven to Bethlehem, if you will, to Mary, and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Because of Christmas, we see God's love revealed in the babe in the manger. And not only that, we know the truth about ourselves. Let me ask you a question. I know that I'm not trying to get you to cut yourself down, but you think you're a lovable person? Really, we're quite selfish, aren't we? I mean, the flesh can be the most selfish thing in the world, especially kids, you know? And I start thinking about this. God didn't send his son into the world because we were so in love with God. No, no, no. We didn't want anything to do with God. We didn't want anything to do with God. He didn't send Jesus into the world because we were such a lovable people. We're not a lovable people. Just hang around the church for a while and you'll see what I'm talking about. No, listen. Have you forgotten the condition that you were in before God found you? I have. I haven't forgotten. Miserable. Oh, everything was going great. I mean, as far as the world was concerned, but I was miserable. The Bible tells us this is the condition he found me in. I don't know about you, but it says in Romans 5:6, it says, for when we were still without strength, that word means hopeless. It means helpless. It means that it's like a person on a life support system. When we were without strength, in due time, here it is, Christ died for the ungodly, for the undeserving, for the unlovable. And I start thinking about that. Oh, Lord, I remember the times, how many times before I was saved, I denied Jesus Christ. People would witness to me and I would go, hey man, I'm sorry. I just don't need any more crutches. You got a beer, by the way? You know what I'm saying? Did y'all catch that? No. I was hopeless and helpless and without strength. Jesus said, you know what? That's why I came. That's why I was born of a virgin. That's why I was born in a manger. That's why I came. That's why God sent me to die for you, to help you, because you can't help yourself. You're helpless and you're hopeless. And here was the problem. I didn't know that I was helpless and hopeless. I was blinded. And I said, oh God. And then let me finish in Romans 5, 7, and 7 says this, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps, maybe for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Let me ask you a question. Would you die for someone that you don't know? Would you send your little 5-year-old boy, your 3-year-old girl? Would you let them die for someone you don't know in some other land? Would you let them die for a killer, a murderer, a child molester, a rapist, someone who hurts other people? Would you say, here, take my little boy, take my little girl, rip open her back, rip open my little boy's back, pin him to a tree with nails, put a crown upon his head? Would you do that? No, you would not. Neither would I. Would you let your little boy, little girl die for that poor, poor, poor man named Adam Lanza who massacred 20 little 6 to 7-year-old boys and girls plus adults? Would you die for him? Would you die for the next Adam Lanza who has not yet been born? Would you die for him? I don't know that anyone would. So let me take his place. Let me take his punishment. Let me take his suffering. I'll die in his place. I don't know anyone but one person that will do that and did do that. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, because of Christmas, we know what God has done for us. It says in Romans 5:8, but God, he does something. He demonstrates. That word means he proves. God proves his own love toward us. Not when I repented, not when I tried to clean up my act, not when I was saying, oh, I'm going to be better. No, no. It says, but God proved his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, past tense, still sinners, still loving our sin, still partying, still sleeping around, still lying and cheating to get ahead, while we were in our sin and loving our sin, the sin that was blinding us. We say, well, I didn't live like that. Well, did you ever tell a lie, just a little lie, squeeze, 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 tiny half lie? You're a sinner. We're all sinners, amen? But God proves his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, here it is, Jesus Christ died for us. That's what Christmas is about Jesus coming into the world to die for us. See, God doesn't forgive us, loved one, because he loves us. God loves us, but see, if God just loving us could get us cleaned up, well, then Jesus would have never had to have been born. So Jesus had to come to take our place. That's why he was born. He came to die in our place. Look what it says. This is love. Not that we love God, because boy, I know we didn't. But he loved us and sent his son to be a what? Propitiation for our sins. Now listen, because of Christmas, we can know, if you're a believer, listen to me, we can know that our sins are forgiven. Because of that word propitiation, it means atonement. It means that someone had to pay for our sins because sin is a debt. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So in other words, our sin debt had to be taken away. It had to be paid for. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus was born. You remember in 1 John 3:5, it says, and you know that he was manifested. He was born of a virgin, born in the manger. He was manifested to do something, to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. Jesus is spotless, sinless, the Holy Son of God. He took away our sin. In other words, he was a propitiation. He bore the penalty of our sin. Listen, I've quoted this scripture 1,000 times from this pulpit. Psalm 103 verse 12. That he has removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. He's removed our transgressions, our sins from us. You can't measure that distance east to the west. You can't calculate it. He's taken away our sins. Oh, and I think, oh God, you mean every sin? And you know what it says in Hebrews 10:17? God says, I'm not only taking away your sins, but I'll never remember them again. But Lord, what about that abortion that I had? Oh God, paid for. But you don't know, it was that adultery. I cheated. I paid for. But I was a fornicator. I was in so many relationships. Paid for. Every sin paid for if you're in Christ Jesus. You remember Cliff Burrows, the man who was with Billy Graham for all those years? He had two children, two of his children, Betty and Bobby. Yeah, the boy and a girl. When they were, 8 or 9 years old, a rebellious streak came into their lives. And they just would not obey. They were always getting into trouble. And one day, their dad walked into the room and said, go into the bedroom right now. He walked into the bedroom and he pulled out a belt. I mean, a big old huge belt. And he says, get over there by the bed. He goes over by the bed and he takes his shirt off. He kneels down on the bed and he lays on the bed and he says, Betty, come here to me right now. You've done wrong for the last time over and over. I want you to take this belt and I want you to hit me on my back. I want you to hit me with all of your might, with everything you have. I want you to hit me 10 times. No, Daddy, please. I can't do that. I can't. You hit me now. She lifted up and was weeping, beating her daddy. Bobby, you come here to me. You take that belt from your sister. And I want you to hit me 10 times as hard as you can. They cried, we can't do that anymore. Said, the penalty has to be paid. Someone has to pay for what you've done. Do you understand what I'm saying? He looked at them and they were weeping. He said, they never got in trouble again. Do you understand what that means? You see, Jesus took our pain. Jesus took our sin. He was born in a manger to grow up and to do that. He took what we deserved. He's never sinned. I'm the one that blew it. I'm the one that lived that way. Amen? And I think, oh God, no wonder verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, in other words, loved us like that, we ought to love one another. In other words, if God did that for us, we should love to some great extent. Do you look at loving one another as an opportunity or a duty? Well, listen, I don't look at it as a duty. I think, God, if you've loved me that much, if you have forgiven me that much, that's what Christmas is all about. How can we not love one another? Amen. He says, and watch this now. And no one has seen God at any time. No one. However, there are people that can see God, but they see God in you. Did you know that? It says, now watch, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, though, watch this. God lives in us or abides in us. His love has been perfected in us. By this we know, or we can literally be sure, that we abide in him, that we're living in God and he in us. Why? Because he's given us of his Spirit. Because of Christmas, because of Jesus coming, we can participate in God's love. Now listen, but we can also do something else according to what I just read. We can reveal God's love to other people. Amen? Oh, what a joy that is. Listen, let me ask you a question. If we're the only people on the planet, the church, that has God's love in living in our hearts. Remember? You have to be born again to have the love of God. It says that in Romans 5:5 that God has shed abroad his love in our hearts, poured it out into our hearts. So we have God's love. And you know what? I think, and don't you think that the church should be exploding with his love? Oh, I look at that and I say, oh God, that's what we need. That's what we need. You know what? The lost. You know the lost, they don't like church. Did you know that? They don't like Christians. I didn't like Christians. You know why I didn't like Christians before I was saved? Because they were mean. Because they were mean. Do you understand? I mean, I remember Christians. Listen, when I was just a little boy, I had some people who lived across the street from me. They were at church every night. I'd sit out on the porch and they would roll down their windows in the wintertime, or if they were down in the summer, they'd say, Billy Quinn, I swear, all their kids sticking out there, you know, you're going to go to hell. Man, I had a slingshot. You know the slingshot? I walked in love. You know, and I would just pop them. You know, you ever use marbles with a slingshot? Oh, man, I go boonka, boonka. They're all like, well, you go to hell. They never once told me that God loved me. They never told me how to be saved. They only beat me up all the time. So I had a bad taste in my mouth about Christians. And you know what I think? And when I read verses 12 through 13 here that I just read, let me ask you a question. Do you think the world is going to believe the church if we act like that? No, listen to me. They want to see God's love manifested in us. We're to walk as Jesus walked. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that right now, in the world today, especially in our nation, do you think that those who don't know Jesus, do you think they may be a little weary of our words? Do you think that they may be weary of our witnessing? Do you think that those who don't know Jesus Christ may be just a little bit tired of us saying, hey, God loves you. Jesus died for you. But what they really want us to do is show them God's love. See, God doesn't hate the homosexual. Do you hear me? He hates the sin of homosexuality. God doesn't hate the drunkard. He hates the sin. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Man, boy, I tell you, the church needs to wake up and say, oh, wait, wait. We love you, man. You're wrong. Yes, you're in sin. It's going to lead you down a path of destruction. It's going to destroy your life. But I want you to know that every day that you're destroying your life, God loves you. He wants you. He wants you to, listen, that's what Christmas is all about. For God so loved the world. Not the trees and the mountains, the world, the people in the world, that he did something. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what it's all about. Because of Christmas, we have the greatest message in the world. Look at verse 14. And we've seen and testified that the Father has, here it is, sent the Son as what? Savior of the world. Listen. Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem, born in a manger to condemn the world. Jesus, it says in John 3:17, says he came into the world to save the world. Luke 19:10 says that Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost, who are not saved. I thank God that he saved me. I thank God that he broke through my hard heart because I had a hard heart. I thank God for that day on the beach when that hippie walked up to me and said, hey, man, you look like you're looking for the truth. And that caught my ear because that's exactly what I was looking for, because I was a Texas boy all the way over in Florida on Jack's Beach, watching the sun come up, drinking the coldest beer, pulled it right out of my cooler, smoking a Marlboro cigarette. And I was sitting there, knelt down, watching that sun come up out of the water, thinking, what in the world am I going to do in my life? What's wrong with my life? What is truth? Where am I going? Surely this can't be it, because I had all the money that a person could ever need. That wasn't it. And I just was sick of it. Did you know I'd sold everything? I sold everything I had and just had my truck, money in the bank, and a few items of clothing. I was through, completely through. He looked at me and said, you look like you're looking for the truth. And I said, just what is truth? He says, and you shall know the truth and it'll make you free. I still hear that. Still hear it today. Still see it. That moment when something, whatever happened to me, I looked at him and I stood up and I said, well, how do you know the truth? He said, grab my hand. I grabbed his hand. Bow your head. I bowed my head. He said, pray with me. And I prayed. And I was born again. Born from above. That's what Christmas is all about, is being born again. It's about walking in a newness of life. It's about being filled with the power of another. Amen? That's why we need to be a people that celebrate. You say, well, how can I be saved then? What a great question. Look at verse 15. Here it is. Here's your answer. Here's your answer to how you can be saved. It doesn't come by joining the church. It doesn't come by filling out a membership card. Nothing wrong with that. That doesn't save a person. Or I'm just going to go to church and that's going to make me a good person. No, it doesn't work that way. It says, whoever lives a perfect life, no. Whoever tries real hard to be good or does their best, no. Whoever, what? Confesses. Oh, here's Christmas right here. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Do you know what that just told me? Because of Christmas, because God sent his only Son, I just found out how I can be saved. I just found out how I can have everlasting life. I just found out how I can start all over, how I can have a new beginning. Listen, God knew that we couldn't go to him, so he had to come to us. He had to come and rescue us. And I look at this and I say, oh, because of Christmas, we can be saved. You can be saved. How, Bill? Well, it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, what does that mean? It just doesn't mean saying it. It doesn't mean just let it come out of your mouth. That's not going to save anyone. To confess Jesus means that you believe in, rely on, and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, as the Son of God. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, it says that the word is nigh thee. It's even in your mouth. It's so close to you. Let me say something. If you don't know Jesus this morning, listen to me. You that are listening live right now, just tuning in or whatnot, wherever you may be, listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, he wants you. He died for you. That's why he was born. He came for you. He came to rescue you. He's the Savior. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other way. He's the only way. And he says, here's what you have to do. He says, you have to confess me because I'm your answer. You see, the Bible is so clear. It tells us, it says, whosoever will confess with your mouth, confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus. And another thing, and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God hath raised him from the dead. God's promise in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Listen to me. God said this, you will be saved. But listen, it takes the mouth. It takes the heart. It takes confession in perfect agreement with your heart. Jesus, God did send you. Jesus, you are God's Son. You did die for me. I believe that. Come live in my heart. Are you listening to me? You see, that's how, think about it, the incredible power of confession made from the heart. Did you know the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Isn't that amazing? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's that confession that comes out of our mouths. It says in Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, here it is, confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on Jesus will not be put to shame. I'm going to ask you a question. That word means be disappointed. Anyone here that is a believer in Jesus Christ, listen, I've been disappointed many times in my life, but I've never been disappointed in my Savior. Amen. Not once. No one has ever been disappointed by coming to Jesus Christ. No one. I mean, never. Oh, I'm disappointed in me. I look at me and I get disappointed a lot. But I've never looked unto the author and the finisher of my faith. And I've never been disappointed in him. I've never been disappointed in his love. Oh, church, listen to me. Jesus is real. The God-man is real. He's coming for us one day. And may I encourage you, you know, listen, it's so easy right now this time of year, because I know many of you, we're in a rush. There's such a rush going on. The things that are happening in the world, or you may have illness in your home, and I understand those things. And God understands those things. It's so easy, though, at this time of year, just to talk about Jesus as Christmas. Listen, what if God said to us this morning, all my church does at Christmas, or it's part of the year, they talk about me, they write things on Christmas cards about me, and they even sing carols about me. But their heart seems so far from me. Parents, listen to me. I'm not trying to tell you how to run your home on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, whenever you celebrate Christmas. But I know that you know that you know, we don't need Christmas presents that we open. We need Christmas presence, the presence of Christ. Amen? I encourage you to do what I did when my family was young and the children and so forth were little. And I would always, there was a tree, you know, in the presence. Before anything was ever done, I would turn to the Gospel of Luke, and I wouldn't teach, but I'd read the Christmas story. And I would say, now that's the real truth about today, why we celebrate today the birth of our Lord. We would bow our heads and we would pray and thank God for the gift of his son. And then I say, now let's open the presents. And I said, and go eat. Amen. That's what it's all about. Let's keep Jesus the reason for the season. Amen. Now look at verse 17 quickly as we're going to close. But look at this. Don't miss this part. Boy, this is the best part of this is the best scriptures in the world right here. It says in verse 17, love, that's God's love, has been perfected or matured among us, among the body of Christ. How's that? Well, it says, well, in this, that we may have, what's that word? Say it again. We may have boldness when? In the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is. Now listen to me. Not as he was. Not the babe in the manger. Not Jesus on the cross. Not Jesus in the tomb. Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. Amen? As he is right now. Listen to me. This is so vital that we see this. Because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Because of Christmas, a believer need never fear or be tormented about the day of judgment. Do you really believe that scripture? Why should we not ever fear that? Because love now has been brought to maturity in our heart. See, we know God. God loves us. And not only that, listen, you can't pay for your sins no more than I can pay for my sins. Jesus has already paid for them. Amen? In other words, Jesus has taken our judgment on the cross. So for the Christian, our judgment is not future. Our judgment is in the past, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment, no guilt to those who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I say, oh God. Listen to what Jesus said in John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, who sent me from heaven, God the Father, sending Jesus, has everlasting life. And listen to what Jesus said. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from life to death. Listen to me now. I know that some of us, all of us, fear sometimes dying. Because we're afraid, because, oh God, we're not good enough. I mean, we haven't been good enough. I know we haven't been good enough. He knows we haven't been good enough. When Jesus died, he died for every sin of the whole world. Amen? Now, that doesn't say go out and live like you want to. That's not what I'm saying. You know better than that. We're born again. We live on the plane. What plane do you want to live on? I want to live on the plane with our Lord. But I look at that and I say, oh, because of Christmas, I don't have to fear. I don't have to have torment. You know why I can have that boldness and you can have that boldness? It's because as He is, so are we in this world. In other words, we are so closely identified with Christ. See, to be in Christ means to have and possess all that He is. Amen? So it means that our position and our standing right now in this world, even though we don't feel it, even though we don't totally understand it, we share the same exalted position as our Savior does. Are you listening to me? And that's too much. I know that's too much for me to even bite off. But I look at that and I say, oh, that is Christmas right there. In other words, someone put it this way. The Father cannot judge our sins again without judging His only Son again. Jesus came to pay for our sins how many times?
Once.
Folks, it's done. No, it's done. See, that's why when you come to Christ, your sins are washed away. I mean, all of the guilt, all of the shame. You can't pay for it. I can't pay for it. Oh, that's the glory of Christmas, is that a Savior has been born. Come to rescue us. Come to redeem us. There's only one way to escape that judgment. Now, listen to me. There's a horrible, horrible judgment that's coming. Horrible judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Oh, Bill, how dare you mention that on Christmas or Christmas sermon? Jesus came to save people from that. That's why He was born. In other words, grace, there's just an hour of how much time is left? How much grace is now left? Where are we at? Where are you at with God? See, if you don't know the Lord, listen to me. I love you and God loves you. But if you don't know Jesus, you're going to face the worst kind of judgment that you can imagine. You're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're going to see His face, it says, there at the Great White Throne Judgment of Revelation chapter 20. And you know what? These are the words you're going to hear. Depart from me. You don't want to ever hear those words. There's no jury. There's no appeal. There's nothing. No one can help you then. See, God is real. The manger was real. The cross was real. Jesus is coming. Judgment is real. And if you're not saved, you're going to face that. Boy, what a horrible way to close out this service, huh? The one who was born in a manger, His name is Jesus. He is coming again. There was absolutely no room for Him in this world, no room in the inn for Him. I'm going to ask you a question. If you don't know the Lord, those who are listening live, you who are sitting here, I don't know who you are. Will you make room for Jesus in your heart? Because Jesus has made room in His heart for you. Will you come to Him? Will you come and say, Jesus, save me? I'm not asking you to join this church. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not asking you to sign a card. I'm asking you, where do you really stand with the King of Kings? If He's not your Lord, what are you going to do? Listen, death comes to us all. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it says this, that, what does it say? It's appointed unto man once to die. Thank you, Lord. It's appointed unto man once to die. Listen, you preach two services, your mind will be burnt out too. It's appointed unto man what? Once to die. Then what happens? Then cometh the judgment. It's real. But see, when you're in Christ, and if I close my eyes tonight, I hope I don't, because I want to be here. I want to see as many people come to Christ. I want to finish my race. But if I'm not, I don't have to fear the judgment. I don't have to fear adding up, because the one who died for me added up. He's the one who pleased the Father. He's the one that kept the law. He's the one that did it all for me and you. And all I have to do is say, I can't do it. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, save me. And you know what? You want a Christmas? That would be your greatest day ever. If you don't know Christ, let me tell you how you do it. You pray this prayer with me right now. You don't have to come down here. This is a holy time between you and Almighty God who is present with us.
If you don't know the Lord, pray this prayer with me right now, and God will save you. Church, help me. Help me out right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I want to live. I'm so tired of just existing. I desire real life. So right now, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. You promised if my words that come out of my mouth are sincere and I really believe in my heart, you will save me. I believe. I'm sincere. Please save me. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Our heads are still bowed. No one...